Good morning, everybody. Woo! Man, this is a lively crowd this morning. God is good. How many can testify that God is good? Has God done any miracles in your life this week? Raise your hand if he's done a miracle in your life this week. Amen? Oh, that's awesome. And I believe he is the miracle-working God, and he's still doing some amazing, amazing things. This season is a great time. It's a busy time. And many of you know, this week is Strawberry Festival, so we have people out working Strawberry Festival. But next weekend is Easter. And I really want us to focus our attention on Easter this year. Lord's really put something in my heart for this Easter Sunday, and it could be very evangelistic. And I want you to just reach out to people who just need to invite Christ into their life, and let's just pack this place out and come with an expectation. I know a lot of times people think about Easter, we get in the tradition of Easter, and we come, in our cool little clothes, and we got all our pretty little dresses on, and it kind of gets to be a little tradition, and it kind of gets just to be another seasonal moment. But I don't want it to be just Easter Sunday. I want it to be Easter impacting Sunday, where people's lives are changed and God does something amazing in people's life. I hope you understand what I'm about to say is, look, I want to pack the place out, not because I want to call my friends and tell them we had a big crowd for Easter. I want to pack the place out because I want to see people's life changed. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Anybody here this morning? Come on. Wouldn't that be great? And that each and every one of us have an opportunity to share the goodness of God with the people that are around us. And this is really what we're supposed to be doing anyway. We want to be a church that don't have walls, that's not just doing what we do on Sunday morning, but we live our lives just celebrating the goodness of God all the time. Can you say amen? Why don't we do this right quick? I want us, just before we get started, I just want us to take a second. I hate to ask you to stand again. Really, I don't mind. I want you to stand, and I want you to just take about 30 seconds without any music, without any song, and I want you to just give God your best praise. Come on. Come on. He's worthy. He's good God. Come on, just praise him. Yeah, we can do better than that. Come on, let your voices out. King of kings and Lord of lords, we honor you today. We lift up the name that's above every other name. Lord, we declare over this house your greatness today. We declare your goodness over this house today. Lord, you are good. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him God is good. God is good. God is good. You may be seated. We're celebrating today, Palm Sunday. And I was just preparing for this Sunday and looking at the Gospels, all four Gospels the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And it was recorded in all four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the story of Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And I know that many times we've looked at this story, and we see this kind of around our Easter time, the week before Easter, as we enter into the Holy Week, and there's a lot of celebration going into the Holy Week. And in South Louisiana, there's a lot of fishing going into the Holy Week. Can I get a better amen? And there's a lot of other things going in. But I want to focus today on the triumph entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But I want us to think about it this, the triumph entry of Jesus riding into Hammond, America. Come on, can I get a better amen? Yay, Jesus. Way to go, Jesus. I hope that he would get a better celebration than that. And that the triumph, Jesus coming in to change the world and the environment around us. And as we look at this story, we see that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and people began to gather. They knew he was on the outside of the city, and they began to gather, and a crowd began to come around, and they were celebrating, they were excited. And as many times as I've read this passage of Scripture, there's one little thing, I don't know why, but it just never jumped out to me like this jumped out to me this year. It's when Jesus is riding in, they didn't only come to see Jesus, but they also came to see Lazarus. Because Lazarus had just been raised from the dead a few days prior to this. And here there's excitement. There's a buzz about the town. There's a buzz around the city of Jerusalem. Hey, listen, Jesus is coming. But with him coming with Jesus is this Lazarus that was dead, that was in the grave, that was stinking. And he called Lazarus out of the grave after 4 days. And we're going to go see this man who can raise the dead. And we're going to go celebrate this King of Kings and Lord of Lords who does miracles like crazy. So I got to thinking about how when Jesus comes into the city and comes into the place, miracles are happening. Miracles are happening. I was with somebody just a few days ago, and they were saying, you know, why don't we see miracles today? And I was thinking, we do see miracles today. We actually see lots of miracles. A while ago, I said, how many seen a miracle this week? A whole bunch of people. Raise your hand again. Come on, let's just look around. How many's had a miracle this week? How many believes God is a miracle worker? And so we oftentimes don't talk about the miracles that Jesus has done. But here's something amazing to me, is when we begin to tell about the miracles that Jesus does, then all of a sudden people are going to gather, because people want to believe and see the miracles that Jesus is doing. I know that right here in this church, we've seen miracle after miracle. And sometimes we talk more about what's not happening than what's happening. It's a distraction to the goodness of God. It's a distraction to the things that God is doing. And so the enemy always wants us to get on the negative, right? Like, you know what didn't happen? Let me tell you what did happen. Today, God walked into this place, and people's life was forever changed. Now, I just want to stop right here today, and I want to pray for miracles today. I don't want to just talk about miracles. I want to pray for miracles. Is there anybody in this place today that just needs a miracle right now in your life? Right now in your life. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You know what, let's do this. If you need a miracle in your life, why don't you stand right now? Now, we could just talk about God, or we can activate. All right? You need a miracle in your life. If you see somebody standing beside you that needs a miracle, why don't you just stand up, join them by the hand, and let's believe together today for a miracle. We serve a God of miracles, a God of supernatural healing, a God that's coming to this place today. Father, we speak miracles over lives today. Lord, I know there's sickness and disease. Lord, that we say right now you have to go. We speak life over those situations. We speak life over financial situations. Lord, you've walked into the room today, and we begin to feel and sense the presence of Almighty God. Lord, I just stand in the gap today for a friend of mine, Lord, that needs deliverance today. I speak over that life right now. I say to that life, Lord, free from drugs and alcohol and addictions, God. We know, God, that you're more than able, God, and we speak life into the situations today, because Jesus, you are King. Come on, let's just declare him King over these lives today. Lord, you're King over these situations, Lord. You're King over sickness and disease. You're King over heartbreak and hurt, God. You're King, Lord, over our marriages, Lord. And we speak that in the name of Jesus. Now let's give the Lord praise for what he's already doing in this place right now. So Jesus is riding in on this donkey, and here's the deal. Also, I got a lot of stuff in this that I want to release today. This miracle of Jesus that was happening was not just the fact that he was riding in on a donkey, but this had already been prophesied. Now, hear me. It had already been prophesied in Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. Long before this day, there was a prophetic word that was hanging in the air. Come on, somebody. That's saying this Jesus is coming, this king is coming, and he's going to be riding on this donkey. I want to ask you this question this morning. Pay attention right here. How many prophetic words have been spoken over your life? How many prophetic things have been spoken over your life? And you're living in the moment when Jesus steps in on the scene, and that prophetic word is activated. Come on, I know that he was talking about Jesus coming to the throne, but I'm talking about the prophetic word that's been spoken over your life. I think there's something that we miss a lot of times when we don't understand that what God has already said and he's going to do is when we allow the presence of God to activate the prophetic in our life. Come on, somebody. We allow the presence of God to activate that word that's already been spoken. Now, I can be honest with you this day. Sometimes I have these prophetic words hanging over my head, and I'm like, come on, God, when is this going to come to pass? Or when? I was just sitting right here on the front seat just a while ago, and I was thinking about words that have been spoken over this house. I've been thinking about words spoken over this region. And we're walking into a moment in a time when I believe that those words are about to be activated. And I'm going to say this in the spirit today. As we move into Easter and that we move into one, there's going to be distractions that we have to be aware of. There's going to be things that we have to be on guard. I think as a church and as the body of Christ, we have to learn how to be sensitive to what the work of the Holy Spirit's doing. But we also have to be sensitive that the enemy likes to come in and steal and kill and destroy. He wants to take. He don't want your prophetic word to be activated. Anybody here this morning? He don't want you to step into that place of supernatural where that life, that your life becomes a living testimony of something already been spoken over you. And I believe that we're stepping into the moment that the prophetic word is being released in this region. Anybody here today? And that we're this meeting that we're doing in just a few weeks is not just a meeting. It's not just a get together. It's not just something that's a pipe dream. I believe this is the word of God. It's been spoken over this region as we press into it, as we lean into it. Listen, I want every intercessor and every prayer warrior in this house and every person that knows how to lean into the presence of God. As we lean in the next couple of weeks, we lean into what God is speaking. I believe God's going to start opening the ears of the believer, and we're going to see things begin to unfold. And our hearts are going to be open up, and we're going to start seeing miracles everywhere. Everywhere. He's activating something even this morning in your life, miracles to happen in your life. And listen, we need to be sensitive to what God is speaking. But here's the one way that we become sensitive to what God is speaking. We invite his presence into every situation. Come on, our lives are to be that invitation of, come on, Lord. Come into this. Lord, come into my household. Come into my financial situation. Come into all of these things, Lord. I'm going to live my life of this place of worship. So the King of Kings was coming in, riding on this donkey. And the donkey represents something that I believe that we really need in our nation today. We really need in our lives today. The donkey represented peace. Listen, I know this morning somebody told me some crazy thing that happened this morning in Israel or Egypt somewhere that's bombed some churches this morning. We're living in a crazy, crazy, crazy time. We can run scared or we can worship and praise and push back the enemy. Come on, anybody here this morning? This ain't in my message, but I'm going to preach this a little bit right here. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Can I take a little side note here for just a minute? Great is the presence of God that's within me. And wherever I walk and whatever I speak, I proclaim in the land. I'm taking the ground. I'm saying to the enemy, you can't have this turf. We claim this turf for the purpose and the kingdom of God. You can't have my children. You can't have my family. You can't have my life. You can't have my finances. You can't have those things. I'm going to push back the darkness and I'm going to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. I just feel something in the spirit right there. God's breaking forth. And so this donkey come riding. It represented peace and it represented humility. As he rode in, the people began to wave their palm branches and they began to lay their palms down and they made a carpet, so to speak, with their garments before him. And the palm branches represented something so powerfully too. They represent goodness, and they represent victory. I want you to think, I wish I had a palm branch this morning. I should have just grabbed me some plastic palm branch somewhere. And they begin to wave this, and they begin to wave a victorious sign. It was like a banner they were waving. They were saying, victory. This is victorious. This is, God is, Christ is coming, and we're believing for victory. We're just waving our banners and waving our, singing our songs and Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes. But they didn't even understand the power of the victory of this Savior, for he was not yet crucified. He had victory over death, hell, and the grave, and they didn't even know it yet. But they sensed that there was a breakthrough, and they knew that Christ was coming, and he was going to do miracles in the land. And people began to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And as Michelle has already mentioned, the word Hosanna means save us now. I'd like for us just to take a moment right now. And I'd like for us to cry out, "Hosanna. Lord, save us now. Hosanna. We praise your name. Hosanna. We sing praises unto you today. Hosanna, save our nation. Hosanna, save our region. Hosanna, save our nation today, God." We bring praise into your, to you, O God. Hosanna. And the Pharisees, they begin to say, "Hey, teacher, rebuke these followers for saying these things." And Jesus said, "If they stop, surely the rocks are going to cry out." I got a little old school in me when I read that, because I remember them sermons where they used to preach about, "Ain't going to let no rock take my place." Come on, somebody. "Ain't going to let no rock take my place." "And when the rock, when the Lord rises in, I'm going to just be the praise singer. I'm going to be the dancer. I'm not letting no rock take my place." Y'all don't know nothing about that. You know, the devil wants to do something. He wants to shut down your praise. He wants to shut down your dance. He wants to shut down your song. But the Lord said, "Look, if these people don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out." What was he saying? "I'm going to have a worship team. I'm going to have some praisers. I'm going to have some dancers. I'm going to have some people that's going to lift up my name." So either they're going to do it or the rocks are going to rise up, huh? And I just wonder sometimes in the American church if we got so used to coming and letting the praise sing be the praisers and we're the spectators. Or we decided that we're going to be the worshipers and we're going to let our worship be not something we do on Sunday morning, but it's a lifestyle that we live. That our worship is not just an event that we go to, but our life every day is worship and praise unto God. And we're saying, "No, I'm not going to let no rock take my place. I'm not going to let something else hinder me from doing what..." I just wonder how Paul and Silas felt that night when they were in prison and they said, "Look, this thing is bad. We're here in prison. We got shackles on us. We got shackles on our feet." But something welled up inside of them. There was something inside of them called praise. There was a worship inside of them. And they began to sing and they began to say, "Hey, we're, because we're in this place doesn't mean that God is still not good. That God has abandoned us." But they said, "We're going to just lift our voices and begin to praise." Listen, if you want the prison doors open in your life, if you want to see Jesus come riding into your situation, then you need to let your praise out. Praise ought to be something that's an everyday affair for us. Listen, you ought to get in your car on the way to work and begin to just give God praise. I made up my mind. I started doing this a few weeks ago. I just get up in the morning. I've always opened my Bible and read. But I've been particularly looking at the book of Psalms. And I've been taking out of the book of Psalms just a little worship. And I've been just setting my affections on the Lord with the book of Psalms every morning. And I've been singing little praises unto God. I get along by myself because nobody likes my singing but me and Jesus. And I just give a little praise unto God. And I begin to sing praises unto the Lord. And it sets my affections on Him throughout the day. It sets my heart upon Him throughout the day. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking my palm branches and I'm laying them down before the Lord. And I'm saying, "Come on, victorious King. I want you to ride into my life. I want you to ride into my situation. I want you to ride in, Lord, and do a work in my life today. Come on, King. Come on, King. Come on, King. Ride into my job. Right into my family situation. Come on, King. I'm laying down everything that I have so that you would be Lord over my life. I'm not going to let a rock take my place." Woo, that's a good word right there. The King of Kings. Scripture says His kingdom never ends. What kind of king rides a donkey? What kind of king rides a donkey? Listen, kings rode in big white horses with a big chariot. They were known by their chariots and their how they were decked out in gold. And they had a big horse, and they had all kinds of feathers and stuff on them, and they had them dressed out. And here comes Jesus on a donkey. Here comes Jesus riding on peace, humble, a lowly servant. But he was a king. What kind of king is this? One that was born of a teenager in a stable. She looked into his eyes and she saw her baby, but what else, there was something more that she saw. She saw the Savior of the world. He looked like anything but a king. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in a stinky stable with animals all around. And some would discount that. Some would discount that. But the humble king now rides in on this donkey, and the world is beginning to come alive and see this victorious King of Kings. Luke 1 says this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And he shall be called Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." How many times you heard that preached? But how many times have you thought about how the magnitude of what that says? "And of his kingdom there will be no end." Other kings have risen and fallen. Governments have risen and fallen. But this king would govern forever and forever and forever. He controls and holds the world in the palm of his hand. But yet, and all of this, and all of his majesty, and all of his glory, and all the greatness of this king, he also holds you in the palm of his hand. This day would mark a day like no other, as this king would ride in to Jerusalem. There was a great uproar. There was the crowd that were singing, because this king was about to change the world forever. And for a few days, not too many days from that, he would die a brutal, brutal life upon the cross. He would give his life for a ransom so that our life could be forever changed. Full of glory, full of hope, full of peace. Amen. His death would shake the world. And I'm sure old Satan thought that day, "I've won." But little did he know. I'm not going to preach next Sunday's message on the resurrection, but little did he know. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. And when they were waving those palm branches and shouting victory, they didn't even realize the magnitude of what they were saying. They didn't even realize how big and how awesome and how powerful this king really was. They didn't realize the depth of this, but as they began to worship, the heavens began to open. He would be victorious, victorious. And to all those who believe on him, they too would be victorious. This king was not armed with forces of many soldiers and horsemen, but he came and conquered with love. He came and conquered with this amazing love that loved people and all kinds of people and all their brokenness and all their hurt and all their pain. His kingdom, his whole kingdom would be founded on this amazing love that would be poured out and touch the lives forever and forever. This king would invite everyone to come into his throne room to make their petitions known. I was thinking about how today, if I wanted to go, you know, make my petition known before the Donald Trump, the president, excuse me, and before the president, there's no way I'd get an appointment, right? Marvin Poole from Hammond, Louisiana, you're probably not getting an appointment with the Trump. But I get an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have an open invitation into his throne room. Oh, okay. Praise God. the King of the world, the Creator of the universe, who has all that power and authority. I can just walk straight into His throne room. Oh, my, if we could get that, how our lives would change. Sometimes we live like we're sitting on the outer courts wishing for something good to happen when He said there's an invitation. Come on into my courts. Come on into the high places. Come on in and get at my feet. And when you get at my feet, I'm going to pour out an abundance upon you. I'm going to give you things you didn't even dream of, that you haven't even thought of, things that are greater than what you even hope for. Because the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe, cares about you. And you're important to Him. Oh, what a King. Oh, what a Savior. What kind of king would leave his throne and come to save a lost world? What kind of king would leave all of glory to come walk among sinners, those who rejected Him, those who turned their back on Him, but yet He would give His life so that we could have life and to have it more abundantly? What kind of king loves people? People like us. This king would step out of heaven into a broken world, and He would give us life and freedom and peace and joy. This king is not a taker. He's not taxing. He's a giver. Amen. He gives out in abundance. This king is the kind of king that loves every single one. He's the King over all the earth, and He's the King of our hearts. He is Lord in our circumstances. As our worship team comes today, we're going to do something. We're going to end on a little different note than we've done in the past. Today, we're going to just end with worship. We're going to just lift up the name that's above every other name. Hallelujah. And as we give praise today, as we worship today, I just believe something going to happen in our lives. I want this worship not to be just like, okay, we're going to go worship. I want us to invite the Lord into our situations. I want us just to lift up the name of the Lord. I want to invite Him into this region, into this nation, into this world, and say, let's roll out the red carpet. I want us to get out our palm branches today, and I want us to say, we're going to lay down our palms before You, Lord. We're going to create an atmosphere for You to work in. It's through our worship that we're going to experience Him today. It's through our worship that we're going to sense that He is King over every situation in our lives. So here's what I want you to do with me today. I want you to stand with me today. I know y'all freaking out because we've only been here a few minutes. Like, really, is He done already? Get your mind off of that. Get your mind on the worship. And I want us to take for the next few minutes, please, nobody, don't be walking around. Let's focus on this. And I want us just to worship. But here's what I want you to do first. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to see the Lord high and lifted up. The scripture said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. His train represents victory. Every victory won, every battle fought, conquered, overcame, set free. And today, God's walking in this place, and He's looking for a people that will lift Him up, that will lift up the name of Jesus on this Palm Sunday today. As we begin to just wave the palm, as we begin to wave the victory banner, as we begin to praise Him, we come expecting. We're saying, God, You're our King. You're the King over our lives. We worship You. With all that's within us, we worship You, Lord.